Well, hi, George. Thanks for checking in. I want to do a short video series. I'm not sure how many videos this will be. It will touch into some of our Sunday series on biblical governance as well. So you'll want to be in church on Sundays, of course. That's as usual, right? But obviously, all of us are kind of wondering this morning. It's after a big election day yesterday, and I'm getting so many texts. I actually turned my phone off for this video because it's going to beep at me right in the middle of it if I don't. But many people are asking questions, how did we get here, or where do we go from here, these kinds of things. And that's natural. Some people are very disappointed, deflated, depressed, angry. Others don't really care. You just shrug it off. I don't know. But I believe it's valuable to talk through these things and look at it. So I want to talk about where how we got here, and then we'll look at where to go from here. But the question, how did we get here, or why did God allow this to happen? This kind of question, I'm getting a lot of it. I talked about it with my wife, you know, yesterday and this morning. But I think the question itself points to the answer. If you're wondering, how did this happen, or how could this happen, or why would this happen, or why would God let this happen, or something, you are missing it. That is the reason why this kind of thing is happening, okay? Why would God allow this to happen? Well, God tells us exactly why he would allow stuff like this to happen. The Bible is full of events like this. And when I say this, I just mean an election in which God-fearing leaders lose, and people who don't fear God, I'll just lump them into two categories, win, okay? Why would God allow this to happen? Well, because God's people were not vigilant. God's people lost their saltiness. It was diluted. And when the salt loses its saltiness, it is of no good for anyone. It is thrown out and trampled upon by men, right? When the light, supposed to be on a pedestal in the middle of the room, hides under a basket, it's dark in the room. And when the light hiding under the basket says, why would God allow this to happen? The answer is, you allowed it to happen. You're the one hiding under a basket in the corner when you're not supposed to be. That's the answer. That's the blunt answer. And this, why did this happen? This just means an election loss. And for some reason, God's people have fallen for a real simple trick. And they seem to believe that it is perfectly fine to fall asleep in a corner for a couple years at a time, wake up and vote every couple years, and magically everything will be fine. And the world that they grew up in will always be a great place because it was a great place when they grew up or whatever. And we have this little bubble, magical way of thinking that says the world stays the same. And as long as I vote the right way, everything will always be the same. Meanwhile, the left, the Marxist left, has been trampling over every institution, every good thing in this country for decades. Really, it goes back well over a century. You can see a clear line of marching all in one direction for well over a century in this country. The left has been organized and marching in the same direction for a very long time to get the results that they are now getting. And the Christian right goes to sleep and wakes up for election time and thinks that that is going to be enough. And it is not going to be enough. This is the word vigilance, and we do not have enough vigilance. And so we wake up on Wednesday mornings after elections wondering, how did this happen? Or every now and then we wake up thinking, wow, we really pulled out a big victory here, praise the Lord, and we get all excited and we think it's working. But it's not working. It doesn't work that way. It is not meant to work that way. The salt is not meant to ever lose its saltiness, its vigilance. The light is not meant to ever go under a basket, ever hide in a corner, ever. It's just, that's not what light's for. It's not why it exists, okay? The church lost its vigilance. Over time, we gave away more and more space. We let more and more things encroach on the Christian faith, the Christian lifestyle. And over time, those things encroached and they took more and more, and we thought we could solve it by voting. And that was one little category that we would hold to. And you cannot solve it that way. You cannot let the entire atmosphere around you change incrementally, day by day, year by year, for a century, and then think that you can fix it with a vote. It cannot happen. It can't. If it could happen, it would have worked, right? One of the big lessons that Christians learn, and we really already knew it or should have known it, with the past few elections, Donald Trump, right, was very popular among Christians. I voted for him both times around. I liked him. There's no shame in that. But he was clearly, he had a lot of major faults. Still does. He's extraordinarily boastful. So boastful and prideful. He has a really quick temper. We could go over his faults 100 times, right? We all know them. These are real faults. And they drove people hard against him, as we all know. And so he did rally the base. He really did ignite a fire and get a... He was extraordinarily popular, but equally so, maybe even more lopsided. He also ignited enemies. They hated him, right? So his name on a ballot drove voter turnout on both parties. He really ignited his side and brought in a lot of new votes, but he also brought in everybody else to vote against him. If they see his name on a ballot, they're either going to vote for him or against him, but they're going to vote. Nobody's going to skip that day. And so we learned a lesson, right? Everybody, I think, learned a lesson. You know, take Trump in small doses. He's like chemotherapy. If you got cancer, it's useful for killing cancer, but you don't want to take a bunch of it. Nobody wants a lot of that stuff. So in Pennsylvania, we nominated a extremely good Christian man, a humble, gentle, soft-spoken, polite, well-mannered, kind man, approachable. Trump was silly and uneducated. We elected a guy in the primary with 4 master's degrees and a PhD, Doug Mastriano. I mean, qualified, completely qualified in every category. He's like the opposite of Trump. Trump is boastful and Doug is humble. Trump tried to appeal to Christians, but was always kind of, you had to force the hand into that glove. Doug's an actual Christian, leads his rallies with a couple hours of worship music and prayer. He's extremely humble, like the exact opposite of Trump. If we could win elections by just picking the right candidate, we would have done it, right? Trump made a lot of enemies that way. Doug, the opposite of Trump, also lost big. If we're honest, he lost big in the state, right? It's hard to swallow that, but it happened. And here we sit wondering why it happened. Well, it happened because the education system for 100 years has been Marxist. Has every generation, it has been farther and farther to the left. Decades ago, the 1960s, they started removing Bible reading and prayer from the schools. They removed it. Everybody kind of got fired up about it. But everybody kept going to the schools. Nobody stopped. They remain there. They've grown. The schools have grown. We put more and more money, more and more time and energy into these schools while they become less and less Christian and more secularized. And they take over with their sports and their extracurricular activities. They're not only 7 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon now. They're 7 in the morning till 5 or 6 in the evening. Oftentimes I drive by the school and the parking lot is full at 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening. I don't know what they're doing there, but they're doing something every day of the week, and they're doing it for 12, 15 hours a day. They've grown. They got rid of Bible and prayer, and they added a lot of other stuff without Bible and prayer. And what do you expect to happen? Why is it so surprising that every generation, all the church kids grow up, and fewer of them stay in church as they reach adulthood? Why is that so surprising? That's a trend. It's an obvious trend. It's been going on for decades. Why is it surprising? Why does it continue to be a surprise? Well, the education system is one of the reasons. The entertainment system is a major reason. All they do is provide sinful entertainment. And you watch people sin and you call it entertainment. Oftentimes you pay money to watch. So you subscribe for a monthly fee to some streaming service, right? These things have incrementally corrupted our entire atmosphere. The air you breathe and the water you drink is contaminated and polluted with some form of wickedness, some form of secularism, some form of sin and debauchery. some worldview that is opposed to Christ. And we are supposed to be taking every single thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. We are supposed to be doing this. We are supposed to keep watch. We are supposed to be aware. We are supposed to awaken from sleep. The days are evil, and we are to be making the best of every possible opportunity we have. And instead, we rally behind a couple political leaders and hope that they will fix it for us. And then when they don't fix it, we complain and think the solution will be to elect a different one. And then that guy either loses or doesn't, or wins but doesn't fix it. And this is a common recurring problem. And then it's always surprising the next morning, how could we get here? Why did this happen? Why did God allow it to happen? God said it would happen. He said, if you lose your saltiness, you'll be trampled on. He says, if you hide the light under a basket, the room will be dark. It's not surprising. We need to be vigilant. We need to learn the lessons of vigilance. You need to educate your children in the fear of God. That is the beginning of wisdom. That is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are education. And you need to make sure your children have the beginning of education, which is the fear of God. You need to do it. I don't care what school you send them to do it, but you need to do it. And if they get an education without the fear of God, a secular education, then they will grow up without the fear of God. And therefore, they will grow up without the beginning of wisdom. And then they will grow up into adults who lack wisdom. And adults who lack wisdom create a bad society every single time. Okay? That's one thing you need to do. All right? You can send them to the public secular schools. You can send them to there as long as you do it with the fear of God and you manage to do that and instill that in your children. Go for it. I would love more people to do it, make them witnesses in the public schools, but you're going to have to be very vigilant about it because every single day they're hearing Marxism. They are. They're hearing secularism every single day. The whole system is built on those things. And it didn't happen overnight. It will not be fixed overnight. The church lost its vigilance. We thought we could fix things just by voting and then falling back asleep again. And we cannot. That is not how it works. Okay, that's the reason. How did we get here? We lost our vigilance. We lost our salt. We gave it up. We allowed other things and the conveniences of life to take it away. That's how we got here. All right. God didn't do it to punish us. God didn't do it because he doesn't care or that God suddenly became a communist or something. That's not what happened. God said what would happen if his people, we're the light of the world. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Jesus said, you're supposed to go make disciples of the nations. You're supposed to baptize the nations and teach them to obey everything that God has commanded you. Okay, and yet we have allowed the nations to teach us to obey them, and it's exactly the opposite, all right? We'll do more on this. How did we get here? Where are we going from here? How do we get where we need to be? Where do we need to be? All these questions might be stirring in your mind, and we're going to go into that and discuss them further. All right, thanks a lot. God bless.